Wagner, Parshas Vayikra.
This coming Shabbos, we have a dual Kriya. We have a Kriya of Parshas Vayikra, which begins Tyrus Kaihanim, the voice of Kaihanim, the voice of Karbonis. And we have Parshas Zohar. So first we'll speak something about Karbonos, although most of Karbonos is not perhaps Ashkofa, it's more Halacha. Try to find something that could be appropriate for us, appropriate lessons for us. And then, Amir Tashem, we will speak about Parshas Zohar, Amalek. Torah starts off by saying, Adam ki yakrav mikem korban Hashem. The person brings mikem, from your midst, a korban Hashem. So we have to understand, what is the union of korbanos? We're looking forward, we say, Yirotzoin, Nofonecha, Hashem, Alkeinu, Alkei Avoseinu, Sheyabonu Beis HaMikdash, V'Seinu Alkeinu V'Sarasecha, V'Shom Navotcha V'Yira, probably through korbanos. V'Arvo Hashem Mimchas Yehuda V'Shemayim. So, what are we looking forward to? What is the greatness of korbanos? What does it mean to us? Is it just a pure, dry mitzvah? Or is there something, there's a shurish, a mitzvah that we could all learn from? Also, korbanos is a very dangerous thing. Sometimes in our history, we brought korbanos and we got tremendous punishments for it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need your korbanos. I want your tefillos. I want you. I don't want your korbanos. So what exactly is korbanos? The Sefarno says in the beginning of the parasha that Adam ki yakrav mikem, ki yakrav me'atzmechem. Now, what is a korban? That you're taking from your atzmius, from yourselves, bevidui devarim, by saying vidui to Hashem, v'hachna'a, and it's humbling oneself, al derech, as it says, on the shalva farim sefaseinu, uki amro, and like it says, zifrei elokim, the best zvachim to Hashem, is a ruach nishbara, is a humbled spirit. Ki ein chayfetz bekisilim, Hashem doesn't want fools, hamakrivim bilti achna, kodemes, without lowering or humbling yourself first. And therefore it says, mikem, the union of mikem. What does the Sefarno say? It's a lesson of anivus. It's a lesson of being humble, humiliating oneself, the feeling that he's muchna to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the underlying theme of korbanos. And that's why it says the word mikem, Adam ki yakrav mikem, that you have to take from yourself, from your gaiva, from who you think you are, and give that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Sefarno says. And perhaps this is embellished by the Sefer Achinach, which you can find, I'm using the Minchas Chinach, who brings the Sefer Achinach, as you well know. And the Sefer Achinach says as follows in Mitzvah Kuf Tet Zayin. Now it's the korban of mincha, but there's where he says the aside of what korbanos is all about. And I'll predicate it by, I was learning with somebody this week, Mesilas Yesharim, and we're learning about the things that obstruct the midah of zehirus, of being cautious and careful about mitzvahs. One of the four things that he brings is chevra, bad environment, bad friends. And he says that, therefore, if the friends are bad, society's bad, stay away from them. Don't be near them. Somebody's going to tell you, a Maimer Chazal, La'olam yehidaita shel adam me'urav im abrios, that the das of a person should always mingle with people. We always hear that. What do you mean you're not, you're dropping your old friends? Mr. Frumi, you don't want to have anything to do with us. A person is supposed to know how to act with all types of people. So he uses a very harsh language there, the Mesilas Yesharim. He says that if the person would act like an Adam, so it says, Dato Shalonim, Uravim Abrios, together with people. But this person is acting like Maisa Behema, and therefore you don't have a chiyuv to hang around behemos. So when I saw that, you know, it's very scary to especially try to say that over at your Shabbos table. You may be shot down. They may eat you for dinner, and the Mesilas Yesharim, who usually doesn't speak so harshly, But the truth of the matter is that it's really the lashon of the Sefer Achinuch as well when it comes to the Indian, what are korbanos? So, ki a korban bebalchai, a korban using an animal, hu b'emes dimyon chazak etzel b'nei yodam. It's not supposed to be the etzem korban, the etzem animal that I'm bringing that should make a great imprint on your mind. Rather, you're supposed to think when you bring that. It's supposed to be like a dimyon, an association. Eitzo b'nei Odom, lahachnia, once again, to humble, lahashpil hanefesh, to lower yourself, hamisava, the person that has taivas. Kamoshu roesh abalchayos kamoso, halushaimbo seichel nisra v'kolo. Really, a person is composed of two, as we all know. Guf v'nefesh. Our guf is the guf behemios. You could call yourself a behemoth to a certain degree. Part of you is certainly like a behemoth, which is pure guf. What is the saving grace of a person? Why is a person on a higher level? Because of his seichel, because of his nefesh, because of his neshama. So if somebody does maisim of neshama of nefesh, so he doesn't have to bring karbanos. Who is the person that has to bring karbanos? Somebody who unfortunately has used his guf, his behemios, more than the person. Therefore, by bringing a karban, you're looking at a pure behemoth. Oh, this is what happens to a pure behemoth. So that will give you an association. Oh, by me also, I don't want to use my behemoth aspect of me. I want to use my nefesh and the shama aspect of me. If I use that and not the behemoth, then I'll be beseder. So you humble yourself by saying that I'm really a behemoth. Half of me at least is a behemoth, my goof. And therefore bring a karban to be machnia the person and a realization of who exactly am I. Who am I? Once you have that realization of who you are, then you're fit to be a person in this world. Yes? You see what happens to a behemoth. A behemoth gets burnt. A behemoth is brought as a karban. That way you'll realize what is the main part of me. Main part of me is my neshama, my nefesh. So you will humble yourself, humble your behemoths, and you will raise your nefesh and neshama. That is the lesson of a carbon. However, as I said before, a carbon is very dangerous. As we see in the Haftarah of this week's parsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the animals, he doesn't want the karbanos. What he wants is that you should listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that some Rishonim describe it, I just wanted to add on one more thing, the Ramban. The Ramban also, he says, when it comes to a carbon, that each part of the karban, a person is supposed to, he says that by the Akedah in Parshas Vayera, and he says it in this week's parsha also, that a person is supposed to feel like he himself is being brought, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing him a great favor. Really, I should have been brought, and this should have been burnt, and this should have been burnt, and this should have been burnt, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very nice to me, and he takes it out on the animal that I pay $1,000 for. You could do that. But that's the type of feelings you're supposed to have when you bring a karban. However, once again, a carbon is a very dangerous thing. You have to know how to use the carbon. And like Chazal say, and all the Musar Sfarim say, that if you make the main thing into the tofel, and the tofel into the main thing, then you're in danger. Meaning, if you make the main thing the hakravas hakarbon, and don't have any good machshavos, how it's going to have an effect on you, how you're not going to do chatoim anymore, how you're going to be mitzkarev, that's what korbanos means, mitzkarev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're missing the main thing. The main thing is the machshavos. And where do we find that? In the Haftarah of today, the Haftarah of Parshas Zohar, after, as you know, Shaul took animals from Amalek, he was supposed to totally obliterate Amalek and its animals and everything else, and he said, oh, I did a great thing. The nation took from the animals, Lizboach Hashem Olkecha Bagilgo. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said a famous statement, Hachefetz Hashem Be'olos Uzvachim. Does Hashem really want those Korbanos Olos Uzvachim? Kishmoa Bekol Hashem? Hashem wants that we should listen to Him. Hine Shemoa, listening and being disciplined, Mizevach Tov is better than the Zevach. The hakshiv, to listen to Hashem, is better than chelev elim. And you guys did the opposite. Instead of listening to Hashem, you thought you're going to be an innovator and you're going to bring and you're going to do it l'shem shemayim. As long as you do it l'shem shemayim in your seichel, it's good enough. But that's what the pasuk teaches you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to listen to his mitzvahs. And there's a mashal given by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, brought down in many, many svarim. I don't know in this parasha, but it's brought down all over. He says that a mashal of a king that sends his loyal servant on a mission. I want you to go to this and this country and listen to me. Do not listen whatsoever to what that king is doing. You just bring this package that I'm sending the king. He's going to try to get you to do something. Do not listen to him. No listening. Loyal servant says, whatever the king says, I will listen to. You tell me not to listen to the other king, I won't listen to the other king. He goes to the other king, and the king entertains him nicely and starts speaking to him. He says, I just brought the package. I want to go home. He says, here, just 1 minute. Would you like to become a wealthy man? So he says, me? No. I'm a loyal servant of the king. Will you like your king to become a wealthy king? The king? You know, maybe. I'd like to enter into a wager with you. I'd like to bet you that this person over here that is sitting in my room is not a hunchback. And if I win, you got to pay me $1 million. If you win, and he really is a hunchback, so you'll get $1 million. I say he's not a hunchback, and here you see a guy bent over. There's no doubt that this guy's a hunchback. Said, wow, I could win $1 million for my king. I'm sure he won't mind the fact, but maybe, you know, he told me not $1 million for the kingdom. You know what we could do with you know what a yeshiva could do with $1 million? I mean, a lot of things, right? No doubt about it. I'm sure the king will be happy. Sure enough, he enters into the wager, and they ask the guy, are you a hunchback? He says, yes, I am a hunchback. Okay, I'm going to give you now $1 million. The guy's so happy, he comes back to the king, and he says, I listen to you, king. He says, you sure you listen to me? He says, yeah, I listen to you. Nothing happened while you were there? That's a little thing, but you should know, I made $1 million for this kingdom. He says, yeah, how did you make $1 million? We entered into the wager. So he says, fool what you are. I had made a wager with the other king that there's no way that my loyal servant will enter into a wager with you. And we made a $100 million bet. And I said, you will not enter into it? And he said, he could coerce you entering it. You brought me $1 million, but you lost me $100 million. Off with the head. Same thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Very nice. They brought korbanos in order to be a Kiddush Hashem, to bring korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. Obliterate. Machoi timcha ezecher amalek afil mi behema ad oilo ad yonek. Everything. You think you're doing something nice in an innovative way. So says Rav Shmuel Salanter. We have many times during life where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will probably want this. We even hit on the holy words, Im Yerza Hashem. And really, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. But we try to add sanctity to it. We said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will probably be very happy. Be careful. Korbanos are dangerous. Korbanos have brought, according to the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiras Kehanim is the greatest thing. But if not, Chas V'Shalom, it could lead to tremendous danger. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach you. And unfortunately, sometimes the main thing we make into the minor thing. And the minor thing, the main thing of korbanos, are the kavanos and the hachna of a person. The minor thing is bringing the korban. Sometimes, as in the time of Shaul and Shmuel, they made the korbanos into the major thing, and to the hachna, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the minor thing. There's a famous word that we always say over on Purim, Yehudim hoisa oira v'simcha v'sasan v'kar. Says the Gemara Masechet Megillah, as you all know, oira zutaira, simcha is simchas yomtiv, sasan is bris milah, and yikar is sasan is yeah, and yikar is tefillin. And the Sfasem is everybody asks, so why doesn't it say in the Megillah Yehudim hoisa Torah and simchas yomtiv and there's Mila and Tefillin? Why does it say it in hidden words? The answer is, what do you mean? We just say Yehudim Aizah Torah, we learn Torah. Well, we want more than, we want that the Torah should be the light of our lives. Simchas Yom Tov should be the simcha of our lives. Once it reaches the major, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from us, then we're doing the right thing. If it just remains Torah and Bris Milah with a dry axe, without having it enter into an aura and a simcha, sasavakar, we're missing it. So says the Sfas Emes on the Megillah. And it's something, once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the karbanos in order that we should be humble. If we just bring karbanos and we're not humble and we're balei gaiva, we have missed the boat. We have made the ikar into the tofel and the tofel into the ikar. I'd like to speak about the inyan of Parsha Zohar. First, say a word that I once heard from Rav Aaron Kotler. I think it's a very sharp message in understanding the Haftarah of this week. You all know the Haftarah of this week deals with Shaul going on a mission. He became the king in order to wipe out Amalek totally. The Lashon used in the Pasuk is pretty clear. It says, Lech v'kisas Amalek, achramtem et kol asher lo, everything that they have, do away with. Do not have rachmanes. You should kill. Me ish v'ad isha, oilul ad yonek, shor ad seh, gomol ad chamor, etc. And he did most of it. He did 99.9% of it. But he left over one person, Agag, and he left Melch Agag, which Haman came out from, and he left over animals, as we mentioned, Paul Lisboch, Hashem Okecha, and therefore he failed the test. Until finally he's mot, and he says, Chotasi, I have sinned. Okay? That's what it says over there. The Lashon used in his sin, why did I sin? He gave an excuse. Why did I sin? Ki yoresi yasa'am, because I feared the nation. V'eshma b'kolam, and I listened to them. As a result of that, Shmuel says, your kingdom is taken away. So everybody learns what's pshat. Why was his kingdom taken away? Because you're not a king. What is a king? A king is a populist to listen to his constituents. A king is a person that has a gavra. He makes decisions, and the nation listens to him. You were fearful of the nation. You're not right to be a king. A king has to be above the nation, not given to the wills and the wants of the nation, but rather he has to be the one. He's the one that's the policy making body. And therefore, not to listen to the nation. That's how everybody listen. Look at any pirush on Tanakh over here; they'll tell you that that's a pshat. But Rav Aaron Kotler learns a little different. What really was the mission of Shaul? It says in the parsha of Amalek, "Machotim chetzeh Amalek mitachas haShemayim." It says over there that v'lo yore ata ayev yageya, and you were tired and wretched. V'lo yorei Elokim. Rashi says, who was lo yorei Elokim? B'nai Yisrael or Amalek? Some Mepharshim say B'nai Yisrael, including the Rishonim. Rashi says Amalek. Amalek was lo yorei Elokim. Therefore, the mission to wipe out Amalek is to wipe out v'lo yorei Elokim. The only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chair and throne is restored in this world is if we have Yiras Shamayim. Without Yiras Shamayim, which is what Amalek stands for, Lo Yorei Elokim, the world can't exist because the throne of Hashem can't exist. What was the mission, therefore, of Shaul? To wipe out Amalek, which symbolized Lo Yorei Elokim. What did he do? Ki Yoresi Yesa'am. Says the Rav Aaron Kotler, there's a difference between Yira and Ahava. Ahava, you can have two loves. You can love this, and you can love that. Yiras Shamayim means that the only thing you're scared of in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything else which is so-called scary, if you're going to be afraid of that, that shows that you're not a total Yiras Shamayim. Be'ahava, you could love HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally, and you could love your wife, you could love your friends. It's not a stira. But when it comes to Yira of anything else shows that I don't have total Yira in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Shaul said, Ki Yoresi Esa'am, said Shaul, you're not right to be the king. Because the king, your whole mission as a king, even though you didn't come from the Shevet of Yehuda and the Mishpacha of David, was to wipe out V'lo Yorei Elokim. And you're falling into the same trap. Yoresi Esa'am means that you don't have 100% Yiras Shamayim. You only have 98%. That's not enough. That's not Yiras Shamayim. So therefore, that was it. Is a Gemara Megillah that says, to back this up, Gemara Megillah says, Mordechai lo yichra. The Megillah says, Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. He didn't bow down, and he didn't make a yishtachaveh at all. asked the Gemara, why didn't he? He was allowed to. He wasn't a god. You're not going to bow down to Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara gives a few terutzim. Okay? Says Rav Aaron Katz, I have a beautiful teretz. The Gemara says that Mordechai was mechaper al chait of his great-great-grandfather. Yavoi ben Benoi of Shaul, and we've been mechaper in Israel. He said, I want to have total Yerushalayim, because I want to be mechaper al chait of my grandfather who had 98%. And 98% is not Yerushalayim. And his whole mission was in order to thwart Amalek, to be Machai Timcha by having Yerushalayim in this world. Therefore, he said, yes, halachically mutter, not halachically mutter, but if I'm going to be Yichra Yishtachaveh, it means I'm afraid of Amalek, I'm afraid of Haman, which means I, once again, we're not doing our mission, and I want to be Mechaper on my great grandfather, Shaul. As a result of that, Mordechai go Yichra Yishtachaveh. So, Parshas Amalek is the parsha of V'lo Yirei Elokim, and our purpose in Machai Timcha as Zecher Amalek, in order to rebuild the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make it Sholem, is to have Yerushalayim. And the difference between Yerushalayim and Ahavas Hashem is Ahava you could share with somebody else. Yira, the whole Indian of Yerushalayim, means I'm only fearful to Hashem. That means anybody else who tries to scare me doesn't move me. I hear stories of the Gedolim. It doesn't move me because I'm here as a kid. And that was the chait of Yoresius Ha'am of Shaul. Now I have to say a different thing. There are two parshas in the Torah that deal with the Milchama of Amalek. The same Milchama. There was only one Milchama. When did the Milchama happen, guys? When we were left Mitzrayim and we received the Torah and Amalek started up with us, like it says in Rashi Asher Korcha B'Dor. There are two parshas, one in Bishalach that deals with the Milchama itself, and one in Kiteitze that deals with Zochareis Asher Asolcha Amalek. So I want to ask you many, many differences in the two parshas. And once again, we're talking about the same Milchama. There were no two Milchamas. There was only one Milchama. In Parshas Kiteitze, it says, number one, what was the cause, what was the goyrim of Amalek starting up with us? Says Rashi, right before that it says, the laws of Mishkolos, that you're supposed to have weights that should be proper. You shouldn't have improper weights. Weights meaning the way you measure and weigh things in a store. If you're going to have improper weights, which is a way of gezeila, then Amalek will pounce on you. That's the gram, that's the goyrim of Amalek to start up with you. Okay? That's number one. Secondly, what does it say the mitzvah is? Machoi Timcha et Zecher Amalek. Timcha et Zecher Amalek. Who is the mitzvah on? On us. We have to be Timcha et Zecher Amalek. Remember that. The third thing that's unusual in this parsha is twice it says the word Derech. This is not a plug for any yeshiva. It says Zochar Eis Ashoros of Amalek Baderech B'tzeischem B'mitzrayim. Why does it have to say Baderech? It should have said Zohar Yisrael Shoh HaMolek B'tzeis Chamei Mitzrayim. Why Baderech? Secondly, Asher Karcha Baderech. So whatever Asher Karcha means, Rashi brings three pirushim. Either Asher Karcha means he cooled you off, like we spoke about this morning. Or it's a lashon of Mikre, that you start saying, ah, everything is a Mikre, everything is a happening. It's not from Hashem. Or it's Tumas Keri, that they used to start up with indecent acts with the Jewish people. Why does it have to say Baderech? Asher Karcha. Why Baderech? So both words, Baderech, seems to be superfluous over here. Chazal tell us, not sure if it's Chazal or a Zohar, which is also Chazal, it's brought down in various Sforim, that Amalek is compared to a Nochash. Why? Because it says by Don, the Brach of Don, he Don Nochash Ale Derech. The word Derech, for some reason, seems to be associated with a Nochash. So what was the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Amalek? Like us to a Nochash. The Nochash was starting up with us. These are the Yukim, remember, in the Parsha of Kitetzin. We then go back to Parshas Bishalach, totally different. Number one, what is the Goyrem? What is the cause of Amalek pouncing on us in a Milchama? The Psukim right before says, when Bnei Yisrael, Nebuch said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu within our midst? says Rashi over there, ooh, since you said that, Samach Parsha Zuga Mikra Zel Loimar, I'm always amongst you. And you said Hashem, Yes Hashem became Reino Amayim. As a result of that, the Kelev will pounce on you. Who is the Kelev? Amalek. So if you diyukim, number one over there, he's like a Nachash, it says. And over here, the Medrash says Beferish, Chayechem Shakelev Bo Beno Sheikh Eska. The Kelev is going to come. So you could say, a lot of animals are not such good animals, they're tummy animals. Here it says Nachash, here it says Kelev. It's a little Shverdom. Secondly, it's mashma that was the sin that caused the Muhammad, that we said, Hayesh Hashem Bikurbeinu Mayim, is Hashem within our midst. And over there it says that the sin that causes Amalek to pounce on us is Mishkalos, false Mishkalos. Once again, make up your mind. What is the Gairim that causes? Third thing, what is the Lashon in Kisete? Timche Zechor Amalek. Who is the Chiyavan? On us. The Lashon over here is that Moshe tells Yoshua, pick people. What type of people? Tzadikim. It say Hilochem Bamalek, etc. And it says all the things that they had a war, and Vayachosh, he was successful. And he tells Moshe, Ksobzos, he karamba sefer, ki macho emche et sefer Amalek. It bothered me. Over there it says, Timche. Who's going to do the job? Us. And over here it says, ki macho emche. Says Rashi, who is emche? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So make up your mind, buddy. Who is it? Is it the mitzvah on us, or is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to wipe out Amalek? How does it work over here? It's two different things. Secondly, it doesn't mention the word derech over here, like it does in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. Over here, the Iker word is milchama. Over there, it doesn't say milchama. Nothing to do with milchama. Here it says, Sei hilochem ba'amalek. Lilochem ba'amalek. Milchama Hashem ba'amalek. Why over here does it say milchama? And over there, it doesn't say milchama. I have a few more diyukim. And I'll answer it with a yesoi that I heard from Rav Zweig, Rosh Hashiva in Florida. And he says as follows. There's two dinim over here. Amalek symbolizes, you must say, if so many midrashim use different lashonis, Amalek symbolizes two things. One, it symbolizes Nachash. What is symbolic of Nachash? What does Nachash symbolize? The lashon used is Nachash ein lo raglayim, has no legs, has no basis to stand on. Nachash is sheker, is emes, which is supposed to be Bnei Yisrael, versus Amalek, which is Nachash, which is sheker. That's one thing. What is our parsha of milchama? When you have a milchama, therefore it doesn't say milchama over there. Because you can't have a war between truth and falseness. Falseness is an illusion. It's not a true thing. So what do you have by... The only way is to obliterate it totally. Get it out of the way. That's what sheker is. Mashenkein, our parsha deals with tov vara. What is a kelev? What does kelev symbolize? Chazal say it, p'nei hador k'p'nei kelev. A kelev is the animal that's most associated with a person, that gets closest to a person. Emotions are shared between a person and his dog. You don't believe it? All of us show him this week. You wouldn't have died if you wouldn't have cried if the chamor would have died this week. Believe me. A dog is something that even when it runs away, it's always looking all over at his shoulder. That's Shad Pineya Dark Pineakel. Always looking over his shoulder at its master. It's the closest you can get to a master that there are amongst the chayos. What was the purpose of Amalek? The second purpose of Amalek, the Beshalach purpose of Amalek? It was that the Ra of Amalek should envelop, should totally swallow Toiv. It should be Kovesh, it should conquer, and that's why a Muhammad is made. Tov and Ra is a Muhammad. Why? They're both realities. Ra is a reality, it's not Sheker, it's a reality. And Tov is a reality. What is the Muhammad of Tov against Ra our whole lives? Yaakov against Esav? It's that one should swallow the others, and the other one should become part of me. Emes doesn't want Sheker to become part of me. Sheker is Sheker, it's an illusion. But Tov wants to, what do we say? With your two leaves, with your Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra, I want my Yetzer Ra to be enveloped by my Yetzer Tov, and I'll be able to use it for my kochos, for good things, right? That's the union of Tov and Ra. So the mechama between Amalek and Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Beshalach, and that's what we have a chiyuv to read on Purim in the Torah, is the union of Tov against Ra, of trying to envelop the other one, trying to engulf the other one, swallow the other one. While the one in the other aspect, the other Bechina that Amalek has, is the union of Emes versus Sheker. That Emes doesn't try to engulf it. Over there, the union is, you have to totally obliterate it, get it off the world. When it comes to a Muhammad, we need the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Emes and Sheker, we have to realize, if we're not going to realize that it's just an illusion, it's nothing there, it's Sheker, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't help us. But when it comes to Tov and Ra, that's a Muhammad. That's why, who do you take for the Muhammad? Anoshim, take Tzadikim. It's the only place where it says that you take Tzadikim for a Muhammad. Secondly, how did they fight the war when Moshe raised his hands? Meaning that everybody looked up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. We were victorious. When Moshe lowered his hands, meaning we didn't look in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's a Muhammad. And the ABCs of a Muhammad, as we see in Yeshua, is if we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's going to fight our war, we'll be successful. And the Toiv will envelop the Ra. If not, we're not going to be successful and the Ra will... That's the second aspect of Amalek. Now we can understand some of the diyukim we made. We asked, why does it say over there, baderech? What does a derech symbolize? When you go on a road, you don't figure that the road is going to end over here. A road means that you're going on something of reality. Amalek symbolized the lack of reality. When we left Mitzrayim and we were going baderech, we received the Torah, we became the Am Hashem, everything was good. We were baderech, we were with a reality. Suddenly Amalek started up with us. Meaning what? Falseness, sheker, nachash started up with us. Tried to tell us mikra, asher karcha, one of the three pirushim. What does mikra mean? Ah, it just happened. There's nobody over there guiding the scenes. He's trying to make everything into an illusion. That's what sheker does. That's what the nachash tried to do to the isha. That's what nachash symbolizes. That aspect is symbolized by derech. Who is the only one that could fight that out? Timcha zecher amalek. That's our mitzvah that we have to read the Shabbos. It's the union of us. We have to realize there's a truth and a falseness, emes and a sheker. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't help us in that thing. If we don't realize that this is just an illusion, olam hadimyon, nothing is going to happen. That's why he has... On the other hand, in Bishalach, where it's a mukhama of Tov against Ra, therefore, Kelev is used as a symbolism. He's trying to take over his master, and we're trying to take over him. That's what a caliph symbolizes. Then it's a mukhama, and then we need the help of Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, there are a few limudim in Masechet Megillah. I don't have time to say everything. One of them is, it says in the Megillah, ha'eitz asher hechin lo, that the same eitz that Haman prepared for Mordechai, Haman was hung on it. That's what the asher hechin lo, says the Gemara, lo hechin. He really prepared it for himself. What does the Gemara come to tell us? You read the story, you realize that. What's the Chiddush over here? The answer is, that's the Muhammad of us against Haman. Who is going to take Shlita? Who is going to be in the driver's seat? Haman thought that he's going to be his Kovesh Mordechai. What happened was, Lo Hechin, that eighth was really to envelop, because that is the Muhammad. It's Toiv against Ra. Who's going to take over the other one? What is the whole, one of the most famous songs? Asher Yishlutu Ayehudim, Hema B'Sonehem. What was the Nes of Purim? We were supposed to be engulfed by Haman, and what happened was, Haman was engulfed by us. Asher Yishlutu Ayehudim, Hema B'Sonehem, the Abba, V'Napaychu. That's the whole story of V'Napaychu. Therefore, the Purim Dika Kriya is what, Rabbi Isai, is the Kriya. That's why you Magid Avraham Paskins, and we read what on Purim? The Parashim B'Shalom. Parsha Zachar, which remember who Zachar, who Amalek is, we have to remember the other aspect, that's this coming Shabbat. That's the union of Emes and Sheker. One of the Mamari Chazal that is learned out from this, from Parsha's B'Shalach, is that a Rebbe is supposed to treat his Talmud like himself. Where do we learn that out from? Bechar Lonu Anoshim. Moshe tells his Talmud Yoshua, Bechar Lonu Anoshim. What do you mean Lonu? I'm greater than you. Lanu, I'm talking on a parallel with you. From here you learn that you're supposed to treat a Talmud like yourself. What's pshat? It would be very easy for Moshe to treat Yoshua on a lower madrega. You're lower than me. You're nichna to me. But what is the whole lesson of Purim, according to Parshas B'Shalach? It's that don't let one engulf the other, but if there's Tov, let the Tov stand on its own legs over there. That's what Parshas B'Shalach is teaching you. Therefore, this is the place where you learn out that a Rebbe is supposed to treat a Talmud like himself, not supposed to engulf the Talmud. He could say, everything the Talmud is because of me being my great shiurim, my great sitkas, like Yoni said, like all these things. That's why I'm like, that's good. But a Rebbe is not going to do that. A Rebbe is not supposed to engulf. We're not supposed to use that inyan of swallowing or engulfing or being koivish each other. There's another Maimar Chazal that we learn out from here. Esther told the story of Bigson Viserish over to Achashverosh, B'shem Mordechai. Says Chazal, why did she say it B'shem Mordechai? Why didn't she say it in her own name? From here you learn out, Kol Ha'omer Dover B'shem Omra. Whenever you say something in the name of the person said it, maybe Google the Olam. Why are you Dafke learning it out here from Megillah? Is it a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. Because she could have treated it like it's her shtick, Torah. It's her chiddush. I overheard it. Engulfing, swallowing from somebody else. But that's good for the Mecham against Amalek of Bishalach and the Asher Yishvatu, the Megillah. The Megillah is teaching us that it's a toiv a ra. Let the toiv swallow the ra, not the ra to swallow the toiv. Don't let somebody else swallow you if you're a person on your own behalf. That's why we dafka learn it out from over here. And I was thinking, these two aspects, it's very nice to say a shtik Torah with two dinim. Very nice. He has this and he has that. Because there are so many shinum, but who did he learn it out from, Amalek? His great-grandfather was Esav. Esav also treated Yaakov in two ways. Sometimes he tried to engulf, as we learn out from the Beis Halevi, Yatzileini Yom Miad Ochi, Miad Esav. Sometimes he treated him as a brother. Come, brother, let us have brotherly love. Let's do things together. Sometimes he treated him as Esav. He wanted to mamash kill him. Those are the two things. Parsha Ki Teitze, try to kill him. Therefore, what is our chiyuv? Kill him out. Parshas Bishalach, he tried to be one. He tried to engulf. Well, let's be one. You know, I'll swallow you up. We'll be one, and you'll have a great life. Everything will be good. So, connected that, we have the Mechama of Toiv against Ra that we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the two things that Esav had, and those are the two aspects of Amalek. One is a Kelev, and one is a Nochash. One tries to engulf us in a very friendly way, and one tries to say Emes and Sheker, try to totally defeat us, that we're nothing, an illusion, and that's why we have to fight Amalek. So, therefore, the Parsha, the Kriyas HaParsha, Kriyas HaTorah of Purim is like the Megillah. It's like Parshas Bishalach. It's the Indian of Toiv against Ra. Asher Yishlitu Ayehudim Heima Besonehem. This week's Parsha, Parsha Zohar, is the other aspect. It's the aspect of the Nachash trying to really just wipe us out. And we have to realize that there's Emes and Sheker, and we have the mitzvah of Timcha Zecher Amalek. May we be Mekayim it. Bekara Yiv Mamish Ayyidei Bashiach B'meir B'yimei.